This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا حامل القرآن قد خصك الرحمن بالفضل والتيجان والروح والريحان يا حامل القرآن.
Okay, بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. I remember I cliffhanged you last time. I don't think that you still remember, but I do remember. So do you remember the cliffhanger from last time? If you don't, we're just gonna go on, you know. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. MashaAllah. 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 See? The first winner, MashaAllah. You have to earn it. It's not, we're not just giving away. He answered the question. Because when you sit here, I don't want you to be like looking at me. I want you to be listening to me, right? Okay. So, I did two cliffhangers. One in the middle when I told you, are you interested to know? And only two awake people said yes. And everybody else was like, maybe, inshallah. Okay, I said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Qadr, Inna anzalnahu fi laylat al-qadr. Yet, in Surah number 3, he said, Nazzala al-Furqan. Nazzala. So, what's the difference between Anzala and Nazzala? And then I said, are you interested to know? And two people only were interested. Let's see tonight, inshallah. Are you still interested to know?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I need to hear, inshallah. Okay. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I wanted to note this in the Quran all the time. When Allah said Anzala, it means all at once, just one time. But when He says Nazzala, it means it will take time. It's not all at one time, it's many times across a period of time. And I'll explain this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Okay? Anzalnahu, it sounds to you in Arabic as a word. In English. But in Arabic, it's a full sentence. Anzalnahu means we sent it down. That's a full sentence. There's a subject, we sent, a transitive verb, and then it is the object, and down is a preposition. It's a full sentence. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said anzalnahu, it means, what did I say? All at once, one time, right? Fi laylat al-qadr. Now, when I ask you, we sent it down, it here refers to what? Al-kitab. Which kitab? Geography, science? Are you sure? Don't listen to people. They're trying to trick you. Quran. Okay, I'll give you one. See, now you earn it. Okay. It's for him. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we send the Quran down fi laylat al-qadr, on the night of al-qadr. That means, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said in his tafsir, he said, Allah sent the Quran from al-lawh al-mahfuz on the seventh heaven with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to as-sama' al-dunya, to the nearest heaven, the one that's, you know, that's close to us, on the night of al-qadr. Then nazzala, which comes in the Quran at other places, it means Jibreel used to come down across 23 years. So the Quran those 604 pages, those 114 surahs were not revealed, or they came down to the Prophet ﷺ at one night, which is the night of Al-Qadr. No. The Quran came at what night? From Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz in the seventh heaven with Allah to As-Sama' Al-Dunya, to the nearest heaven to us. But then Jibreel came down when people came to ask him, what do you know about Yusuf? That was in the 10th year of his mission. Right? The first revelation ever was when he was on top of the mountain, Iqra. Not even the entire surah, surah number 96, surah Al-Alaq, just the first five ayat. And then later on the rest came at another time. So those surahs that you see now, you know, never came all at once except some of them, like Al-Fatiha. It came all at once. Yusuf came all at once. But the other Quran that you can see, like, you know, Surah Al-Baqarah, it came across years. But every single time the Prophet ﷺ would receive revelation from, you know, Jibreel alayhi salam, Jibreel would say, put this ayat in that surah. Put this ayat after this ayat. This is why you will see in one of the ahadith that one of the Sahaba came one time during the night. He said it was almost like after midnight. And there was no electricity at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. There was no power. So he said, when I walked into the masjid, as if there was like a tree in the middle of the masjid. And I know there is no tree in that place. And then he said, when I came close, it was the Prophet ﷺ in the darkness praying. Qiyamul Layl, night prayers. So he said, I said to myself, I'll join him inshallah. And he joined the Prophet ﷺ. He said, فَابْتَدَرَ سُورَةَ الْبَقَرَةَ. After he recited Al-Fatiha, he started Surah Al-Baqarah. قُلْتُ يَرْكَعْ عند المئة الأولى. Look at the expectation of the Sahabi. He said, I said to myself, inshallah, he will recite 100 ayahs, inshallah, in the first rak'ah. Look at the expectation at that time. I'm sure if Sheikh Yusuf recites more than five ayahs today, everybody's going to say, Sheikh Yusuf, what's wrong with you? Man, we have a job outside, man. What are you doing? The Prophet ﷺ, in Dhuhr Salah, he would recite Surah Al-Nahl. Even though, subhanAllah, it's not allowed Salah, but he would enjoy. And he would say, I will come to the Salah and my intention is to recite at least 100 ayah in the rak'ah, but then I hear a cry of a baby with his mom at the back. Then I shorten my Salah out of mercy to the heart of that mother, because her heart will be broken if the baby keeps crying. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That's the meaning of mercy. He used to feel for the people. He had that compassion in his heart. So, he said, I said to myself, inshallah, he's going to make ruku' after the first 100 ayahs. He said, فَأَكْمَلَ سُورَةَ النِّسَاءِ. He finished Surah An-Nisa. Do you know how many ayahs? 286 ayahs. If you recite the way the Prophet ﷺ would be reciting, today it will take you 3 hours. And then he said, ثُمَّ ابْتَدَرَ Surah An-Nisa. Somebody would say, hold on. You're messing up now the order of the Quran. It should be Al-Imran number 3, right? At that time, and that's why I'm using this hadith, at that time, that was the order of the Quran that was not completed yet. Is that clear? So some people sometimes, when they hear this, they get confused. And then he said, the Sahabi said, I said to myself, inshallah, he will make ruku'. We're still in the first rak'ah. After the first 100 ayah. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, but the Prophet ﷺ completed the surah. Can you imagine the Prophet ﷺ recited, you know, the six surahs, we call them At-Tawal, like Al-Baqarah, An-Nisa, I mean at that time, but then it was like, should be Al-Imran, then An-Nisa, then Al-Ma'idah, then Al-An'am. And every time the Sahabi says, I said to myself, inshallah, he will make ruku' after the first 100 ayahs. And then he said, When that happened, حدثتني نفسي بأمر سوء. I started thinking to do something bad. What would come to your mind? Something bad a Sahabi might do in this situation? Run away? You know, try to hide and skip in the masjid? He said, I started to think to sit down because I was too tired. He was a young man, and the Prophet ﷺ was almost in his 60. Can you imagine? When you are enjoying the Quran, the words of Allah, you don't think of this world and you don't feel it. Isn't this amazing? So now we understand the difference between anzala and nazala. Tell me the difference. Anzala means all at once. Nazala means across a period of time. Right? Is that clear now? Because later on, inshallah, I'm going to test you, and it's coming today. It's coming today. So be attentive. Now, let's kill the other cliffhanger. I said, we explained the last halaqa, how can we prove that the Quran is the most authentic book in the world? Right? And I told you the whole story, how the Quran was compiled in one volume, which is the Quran in our hands now. Because at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was no Quran like this. There was no kitab like this. The Quran was only the oral tradition, the Quran which was memorized. And as I said, at the time, no, if I give you candy and you're going to get busy with the candy, I'm not going to give you candy now. Let's focus on what we're doing now, okay? Let's focus on this now. All of you will get candy at the end. So at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, as I said, there was no need, because whenever the Quran will come down, you know, whoever amongst the Sahaba who was literate, they would write it down on whatever was handy, a piece of cloth, you know, a piece of rock, you know, a branch of a palm tree, whatever was handy at that time. And then it was bits and pieces here and there. And as I told you, at the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, when Umar came to him at the beginning, he said, why didn't you compile the Quran in one book? He said, why didn't the Prophet ﷺ do it? Because there were hundreds of the Sahaba who memorized the Quran. Did I say the Quran or the Kitab? What's the difference? The Quran means that which is recited, that which is read. But the Kitab is that which is written. So there was no Kitab. So Abu Bakr said, you know, it's a bid'ah. I'm going to be innovating, doing something new in the deen. I'm not going to do this. But when 70 people, you know, in the Battle of Al-Imamah, amongst the Huffaz, those who memorized the Quran, were killed, Umar came again. He said, are you going to wait until all of them will be killed? Are we going to lose the Quran? And Abu Bakr said, there is a necessity now. Darura. والضرورات تبيح المحظورات. There's a Shari'i rule that says, necessity renders what's impermissible to be permissible. Okay? So he said, there's a need now, because if we wait until most of the memorizers will be killed, then we're going to lose the Quran. So what did he do? As I told you last time, and that was the cliffhanger, he brought a committee of those who memorized the Quran. And that committee was chaired by who? By the best linguist of the time, Zayd ibn Thabit. What's his name? Zayd ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu. And they made sure that they collected all that which was written, bits and pieces, and they verified every single ayah of the Mus'haf, this Quran that's written, against two of the Huffaz, or we call them also the Qurra, those who used to recite the Quran, you know, that they heard it directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, can you have these two? Separate them, please, because they are playing. Okay? Can you come here? Yeah, yeah. Come here to the front, please. And leave your friend there. Yeah, come here. Okay? So, they made sure that they verified every single ayah that was written against how many Huffaz? Two. Until they verified the entire Quran, except for one ayah, and that was the cliffhanger. What is the ayah, and what's the story behind this ayah? That ayah is ayah number 23 in Surah Al-Ahzab. So number 33, Al-Ahzab, ayah number 23, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
من المؤمنين رجال من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا.
There is a story behind this ayah. The reason it was revealed. Would you like to know it?
Yes.
Oh, five people, mashallah. Would you like to know it?
Yes.
Too late. Too late. You forgot to eat the chocolate. This is why there is no energy now. Okay? So this is the cliffhanger for next time. Okay? So what's the story behind the revelation of this ayah? But this is not our topic. We're killing the previous cliffhanger now. Okay? What's the story of this ayah? We're going to share the reason for revelation next time. You remind me, inshallah. Okay? But what happened to this ayah? We do have this ayah in the Quran. They approved it. How? I'll tell you the story. One day, the Prophet... No, I'm not happy. One day, the Prophet... Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the best day and night to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? You do it one time, Allah gives you 10, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with there was only one Sahabi sitting with him, and then a Bedouin came, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bought a horse or a camel from that Bedouin, and he paid him the money. But the Bedouin came, and he knows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very generous. Anybody would ask him for something, give it to him. So he came to the Prophet and said, when shall you pay me for that camel or horse? And the Prophet said, haven't I paid you before? He said, no. So the Prophet turned around and he said, who would be my witness that I paid this man his money? There was only one Sahabi. His name is Abu Khuzaima Thabit Al-Ansari. What's his name? Abu Khuzaima Thabit Al-Ansari. He said, me, Prophet of Allah. And then the Bedouin, you know, shied away and he left. He felt embarrassed. And after he left, the Prophet ﷺ turned around to Abu Khuzaima Thabit al-Ansari said, have you seen me giving him the money? He said, no, Prophet of Allah. He's like, how come? How come that you bear witness and you haven't seen me giving him the money? He said, Prophet of Allah, I will be sitting next to you and all of a sudden, in a very cold day, you will start sweating and you will stop talking to us. And after a few minutes, you tell us that Jibreel came with revelation from Allah. And I would believe that without seeing Jibreel, without hearing Jibreel. And you are saying that you paid the money and you need a witness and I'm not going to bear witness? And then the Prophet ﷺ made a statement. He said, من شهد له خزيمة فحسبه. Whoever takes خزيمة ibn Thabit al-Ansari as a witness, he doesn't need a second witness. His shahana is a shahada of two. Because in Islam, you know, you have to have two witnesses. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if Khuzaima is your witness, you don't need a second witness. Guess what? Khuzaima was the only one who heard this ayah. So they didn't need a second witness. So they included the ayah in the Quran. Is that clear? Okay. Let's go back to Surah Yusuf then. So we said Alif Lam Mim, we explained that. Tilka, we explained Tilka. We said Ism Ishara Al Ba'id. And we explained how come that the Quran is very close to me, but we say Tilka, which is like, you know, something that's far away because the Quran is in the Lawh Al Mahfuz, right? The real Quran that was written in the Lawh Al Mahfuz is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are copies that were written down and circulated to us, right? And also we say because the Quran is the word of Allah and the words of Allah are very exalted. Okay? Now, ayat, we said the plural of ayah, and ayah means, we explained four meanings. I'm not going to say them again. When the word ayah comes in the Quran, we said it has four meanings, right? Verse, sign of the power of Allah, miracle, or lesson and reminder, right? Then we said al-kitab. What's al-kitab? The book. Which book? Al-Quran, right? So Allah is referring to this. Tilka ayatul kitab. Al-kitab means that which is written. The book, right? Comes from kataba, which is to write. Right? Al-mubin. What's the difference in most of the translations of the Quran? You will find the word al-mubin, by the way, they translate it as evident, clear, lucid, perspicuous. I'm giving you all the synonyms that they will use. But this is not enough. Because that is, in Arabic, means al-bayyin. Al-bayyin means al-wadih, clear. But when Allah says al-mubin, it means it's not only clear in itself, but it is used to clarify. But the question here would be, what does the Quran clarify? It clarifies al-haqq min al-batil, the truth from the falsehood. Al-sawab min al-khata, what's right and what's wrong. Al-khayr min al-shar, what's good and what's bad. This is why one of the names of al-kitab, one of the names of al-Quran is al-furqan. What's al-furqan? The criterion between truth and falsehood. And out of this, Umar radiallahu anhu was given the title al-faruq. لَأَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَقَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. Same meaning. Because he was so tough when it comes to justice. Is that clear? Okay. So now, next ayah Allah subhanahu says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Let's start with إِنَّا. إِنَّا is two words. Again, it looks to you in Arabic. If you read it, it looks in English as if it's one word, right? No, in, it's in, inna, which is harf tawqid, a confirmation letter. And we have na al-fa'ilin, that's the subject. So, inna, if I translate this in English, it would be, indeed, we. These are two words. Is that clear? And here you go, somebody stopped me and I said, who's talking? Inna anzalnahu Quran al-Arabiyan. We sent it down as a Quran in Arabic. Question is, who's talking? Allah, right? Why would Allah say we? And he says you always attack people who talk about the Trinity, right? So your Quran is saying we. And I say, okay, let me ask you a question. When the Queen talks, what pronoun does she use? Does she say I or we? We the queen. When a king speaks in the dunya, he says, we. So this is called the royal we, not the plural we. Is that clear? So it's the royal we, not the plural we. Right? And sometimes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses inna, also he refers to the fact that if Allah wants to do something, He uses angels. Right? I'll give you an example in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. When somebody is dying on the deathbed, right? What does Allah say? Allah describes this scene. He said,
فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ.
When the soul reaches, Al-Hulqum means the collarbones here.
وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ.
And you are looking at him, the person who is dying, right?
وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبَصِرُونَ.
We are closer to him, but you don't see. So when Allah says we hear, does it mean Allah comes down next to everybody who is dying? No. الرحمن على العرش استوى. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends angels. So when Allah uses we too sometimes, it refers to whomever Allah uses to execute His commands, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay. Now, some scholars also in tafsir, they said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses we out of royalty, it's because any action or any act that will come after that, no one can do it except Allah. I'll give you an example. Have you ever heard anybody saying that he revealed the Quran other than Allah? No one can do it, right? Let me give you another example. In Surah Qaf, Surah number 50, and number 16, 1-6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ.
Allah used three verbs in this ayah, and all of them, again, they are implying the plural, but they are the royal, not the plural. The ayah starts with وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا, and indeed we have created. We خَلَقْنَا, نَال فَعْلِين is we. Now, can anybody claim that he creates something? So this is something that only Allah can do. So he talks out of majesty and royalty, out of his might and extreme power. No one can do that. وَنَعْلَمُ وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ, we have created man. وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ, Allah knows what's going on in your heart and your mind right now. Can anybody claim that? Hello? Ottawa, talk to me. So can I claim that I know what's in your mind now? I know some of you are looking at me and they're like, you know, man, I can smell utka, but I don't know where the smell is coming from. You know utka? This is the most favorable, you know, Somali meat dish. Okay? Yeah, when you go to a Somali, tell him, just, I want to eat utka, inshallah. You know when you say biryani in the Indo-Pak culture? Yeah, this is the biryani of the Somalis. Okay? So he's looking at me, but he's thinking about something else, right? But do I know? No. Can he tell now what's going on in my mind? No. Sometimes somebody might be sitting in front of you and smiling, but his feelings are different. You know those people who hug you, but they stab you at the back? Do you know what's in their minds? No. Is that clear? So Allah claims, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He knows what's in the minds and hearts of people. And rightly so, because no one else can know that except Allah. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Wouldn't he know his own creation? And he is a latif. A latif comes from مَا لَطُفَ مِنَ الْأَشْيَاءِ, the most tiny and meticulous things, which is the secret in your heart. Because Allah, in this ayah, it's ayah number 14 in Surah Al-Mulk, Surah number 67. Allah said, وَأَسِرُّوا قَوْلَكُمْ أَوِجَهَرُوا بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Meaning Allah knows the secrets in your hearts before you share them. So whether you whisper or speak loudly, Allah knows it in your heart before you speak about it. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ. Wouldn't he know his own creation? You take your iPhone to the agent. They just open it and say, you need to change that part. Right? But if you take that iPhone to a plumber, would he be able to diagnose it? Why? Why the iPhone agent was able to do it right away? He's the maker. He's the one who put it together. So are you telling me Allah, who put you together, wouldn't know what's in your heart? So when Allah talks about these things, only Allah can do them. Is that clear? So whenever you go through the Quran, you find Allah using the plural, it's the royal we, not the plural we, out of majesty and power. Is that clear? But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about himself as Allah to be worshipped, he never uses except the singular. And this is tawheed. I'll give you an example. That dialogue with Musa alayhi salam in Surah Taha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa alayhi salam, he said,
Innani ana Allah.
Innani. He didn't say innana. No, this one, he's talking about himself as Allah, right? To be worshipped. Nobody should be worshipped with him. So he never used the plural. He said, indeed, I am Allah. Indeed, innani. Subhanallah. As if Allah used it twice. Innani. Okay, indeed, I. And then he said, ana, again, I. But you don't see this in English. Allah. Okay, continue the ayah.
La ilaha illa ana.
There is no God except me. He didn't say we.
Fa'abudni.
So worship, enslave yourself to me.
Wa aqim as-salata li dhikri.
And establish the regular prayers for the remembrance of me. Not we, not us. Is that clear? So you have to notice this in the Quran. Whenever Allah uses the plural, it's the royal we. And it's only for acts and actions that only Allah can do. But if Allah talks about himself as Allah to be worshipped, it will always be singular. And I dare you to give me anything that goes against this rule in the Quran. So understand now, inna here, Allah's talking out of majesty. Because what comes after it? Something that only Allah can do. Anzalnahu. We sent it. Again, we is repeated here twice. Because when I say inna, it means indeed we. And then Allah said, Anzalnahu again. Na in anzalna is we again. And that's confirmation three times. Inna is like indeed. And you know, na is we. And then again, anzalnahu, we. That's to repeat that it's only Allah who can do this. And we said, أَنزَلْنَاهُ, we sent it down. What's it here? The Quran. قُرْآنًا. So that tells you that when the Quran was revealed, it was not revealed in the written form. It was revealed, it was recited, and the Prophet ﷺ heard it from Jibreel directly. So the Prophet ﷺ never ever read the Quran from a book like you or me. How did the Prophet ﷺ memorize the Quran? Directly from Jibreel. That was Quran, not Kitab. Is that clear? And subhanAllah, every time Jibreel will come, you know how the Prophet ﷺ used to react? He used to repeat after him quickly. He was afraid to forget any ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Qiyamah, Surah number 75,
لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعَجَلَ بِهِ.
Muhammad, don't repeat quickly after Jibreel. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَ. Don't worry, we'll combine it in your heart. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَ. So the Prophet ﷺ was so keen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, now let's go back to the word Quran. Where does the word Quran stem from? It stems from قَرَأَ. We said kitab from كَتَبَ, right? Quran, again the same thing, it comes from قَرَأَ, which means to recite or to read. And that was the first command in the Quran. So number 96, Surah Al-Alaq, Allah said, Iqra. Right? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Qur'anan. Qur'an, ala wazn fa'lan, which means something. It's like, we call it sighat mubalagha. It's the hyperbole form of the word. Meaning, it's something that is done repeatedly over and over and over again. Do you know what? The Quran is the most widely read book in the entire world. And that's the meaning of the word Quran. The book that is being recited all the time. Wherever you go in the world now, there is some place, somewhere, you know, somebody's reciting Quran, teaching kids some Quran. It's night here, it's Fajr somewhere else. Right? You know, some people now are driving their cars, they're listening to the Quran. Right? Somebody sitting at home, like reciting the Quran. It's non-stop. This is the meaning of the word Quran. Something that's recited repeatedly over and over and over. Is that clear? Now, Allah said Quran and Arabian, Quran in Arabic. So, why would the Quran be revealed in Arabic? Why would the Quran be revealed in Arabic when the message of the Quran is universal? Because there is no prophet after Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? Is that clear? So why was the Quran revealed in Arabic? Yes. Where? MashaAllah, MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Sometimes I ask this question at the university and I get all the wrong answers. But MashaAllah, what's your name? MashaAllah, may Allah bless you and your dad and your mom and all your family and everybody who would say Ameen out loud. Ameen. You see? They're greedy for ajr, MashaAllah. Okay. So, did you hear what he said? So, why didn't you ask me? Okay. You know, some people give me the wrong answer and they say, you know what? It was revealed in Quran because in Arabic, the Quran was revealed in Arabic because Arabic is the most charming language. I say, are you an Arab? Because the Quran is the language of the people in Jannah. You'll get all types of answers. But what is the right answer? Open the Quran. It's in the Quran. And this is why the tafsir of the Quran, you will always notice me sometimes going into tangents. They're not tangents. This is the highest level of tafsir. Tafsir of the Quran is 4 degrees. To do tafsir of the Quran by the Quran. You relate ayat together. Second degree is to do tafsir of the Quran by the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Third degree of the tafsir of the Quran is by أقوال الصحابة, by what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said. And the fourth degree is by going back to the poetry of the pre-Islamic era, because these were the most eloquent people in the Arabic language. And you will find me always saying, this word stems from that word, because if you go to the stem and study morphology, Quran will make perfect sense to you. That's what you need to study. So, we call it علم التجريد. And then علم الصرف. And then علم النحو. Okay. So now, what is the answer? I said surah number 14. Can anybody open surah number 14? Which is Surah Ibrahim. Okay? Can you read ayah number 4? Anybody who reads Arabic? Surah Ibrahim, surah number 14. What does it say? We have a hafiz here, Sheikh Zakaria, tell us. What does it say? Go ahead and read. Is that surah number 14, ayah number 4? 4. It's 4. Not 14. Oh, jazakallah. Barakallah. Barakallah. Yeah. That's it. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ. I just wanted you to see it by yourself, because sometimes when I say surah number 14, ayah number 4 is like, no, okay. I wanted to read it for yourself. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ. Why? لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. We have not sent a messenger except in the same tongue, in the same language that his own people speak. Otherwise, they wouldn't understand him. Imagine if the Quran came down in Chinese. What's going to happen? Some people say, why not in English? Stop talking about this lame language, man. You see how many times I say, this is one word in Arabic, but I translate it into a full sentence in English. And many a time, I try to find the meaning in English and I can't find it. So I have to explain it, look, in sentences and give analogies until I can, subhanAllah, transfer some of the meaning. This is why I never ever say English Quran, or Spanish Quran, or Chinese Quran, or Urdu Quran. No. This is a translation of some of the meaning of the Quran. Because even the Quran in Arabic, how many mufassirin do we have? And I'm going to leave you with a very good question for next time. Why didn't we have a tafsir by Prophet Muhammad ﷺ of the Quran? Have you ever thought about this? I was thinking about this since my childhood. Why didn't Prophet Muhammad ﷺ do a tafsir of the Quran?
His whole life is tafsir.
No. I mean, like when you ask about his akhlaq, when you transform the good character that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be, that was his akhlaq. But I'm saying tafsir of the Quran, because sometimes say, you know, this ayah, you know, At-Tabari said this, but An-Nasafi said something else, and Ibn Kathir said something else, and Ibn Abbas said something, but you know, Ibn Mas'ud said something different. Yes. Tafsir means explanation of the meaning, interpretation of the meaning. Okay? I'll leave you to do your research, inshallah, and we'll talk about it next time, inshallah. Okay? So, what I'm saying here, why was the Quran revealed in Arabic? Because simply, the Prophet is an Arab, and he was sent to the Arabs to start with. Very simple. Don't complicate things. Right? Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن رَسُولٍ We have never sent a messenger إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِ Except in the same language of his own people. Why? لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ So that he can explain things to them, clarify things to them, and they can understand him. Is that clear? Okay. Perfect. Now, but still, I still have the other question. Isn't every prophet was sent only to his own people? Do you know that? Let me share this hadith with you. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, أُوتِيتُ خَمْسًا لَمْ يُؤْتَهُنَّ نَبِيٌ قَبْلِي Another narration said, سِتًا I was given five things. Can you come closer to me? Yeah. Some more. No, you stay there. That's the main reason I'm asking him to come. Move forward a little bit. InshaAllah. Barakallahu feek. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "كَانَ الرَّسُولُ يُبْعَثُ فِي قَوْمِهِ خَاصَّةً وَلَكِنِّي بُعِثُ لِلنَّاسِ كَافَّةً." Every prophet was sent only to his own people, but I'm sent to all humanity. Right? That's something special about the Prophet ﷺ. Let me ask you a question. For example, Musa alayhi salam was sent to whom? Bani Israel. Right? Only. Right? Isa alayhi salam was sent to whom? Bani Israel only. But the Prophet sallam, Allah said to him, Surah 21, ayah 107, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ Did he say to the Arab? He didn't say he was sent to the Arabs. Did he say to the Muslimin? No. للمتقين للمحسنين للعالمين And you know when you check this into the English translation, you'll find the lame word to all the worlds. No, the word is عالم وجمع عالم عوالم. Allah didn't say وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعوالم. He said للعالمين. العالمين is much more than just the word world. It means all civilizations. All people, all ethnicities, all cultures, you name it. So, still the question is, if the Quran is a universal message, because you said now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ. O Muhammad, we have not sent you except for all people. So if he was sent to all people, why would the Quran be in Arabic? Why? We said to start with because the Prophet was an Arab and the people he was sent to were the Arabs. Yes. Exactly, but what I'm saying now, some people would say, I'm Chinese. Okay? I'm African. I speak Hausa. I'm Pakistani. I speak Urdu. Why not an Urdu? Okay? It's like I'm underprivileged now. Because the Arabs can understand the Quran, and I doubt it these days, if they know the classical Arabic of the Quran. You know, they know their own special spoken dialects. But if you stop somebody and say, do you know Surah Al-Rahman? Yes, brother, I love Surah Al-Rahman. I even memorize Surah Al-Rahman. I say, can I ask a question? He says, no, brother, don't embarrass me. Because if I say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Right? And for those who are conscious of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them two gardens. Right? And then when Allah described the garden, He said, مُدْهَمَّتَان. And I said to a brother, what's the meaning of مُدْهَمَّتَان? You're an Arab? He said, my parents are Arabs. Now, he's starting now to pull out. I say, if your parents are Arabs, then you're an Arab. He's like, I was born in Canada. So, wallahi, if you understand the meaning of mudhammatan, it's a very vivid and beautiful description of the two gardens. Even though the apparent meaning of the word mudhamma comes from daham. And daham means, you know that pitch black night? How can it be a beautiful description of the two gardens when you are saying this? I said, this is the root of the word. But would you like to know what mudhammatan means?
Yes.
When we come to Surah Al-Rahman, inshallah. Okay. So, going back, man, go and study Arabic. Shame on you. So, still, I'm going to answer the question now, why was the Quran was revealed in Arabic? Besides the fact that the Prophet ﷺ was an Arab, and, you know, he was sent to the Arabs. But now, you have 1.7 billion Muslims, amongst whom we have 1.8 billion Muftis, right? Question is, they don't speak Arabic, all of them, right? Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know that other people will accept Islam? In fact, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ himself, there were non-Arabs. Suhaib, can you complete the name? We say Ar-Rumi, from Rome. Salman, Al-Farisi, the Persian. Bilal, Al-Habashi, from Abyssinia, which is now Ethiopia. Right? So these are not Arabs. And the list goes on and on and on, right? This is why some people come and say, is the entire Quran in Arabic, or are there words in the Quran that are not Arabic? There are words in the Quran that are not Arabic. It's like, no. So how come Allah is saying Quran in Arabian? That's another question. I'll tell you this. Coming from a linguistic background, if you study linguistics, you will know that languages are like living beings. When they mix together, when people speak different languages and they mix together, languages borrow from each other. What do you mean? When people live together, we use words that are not originally our language, but it comes into our language. We call it coinage. So languages borrow from each other. For example, you know, the word sugar in English, do you know that it's originally Arabic word? Sukkar. So it's taken from Arabic. And also we as Arabs, we borrowed from English and French. Because mashallah, they came and colonized our lands, mashallah. Right? So we say television, TV. Right? Tilly, it's we call it in linguistics, you know, we have the stem of the word or the root of the word. Anything that's put before that is called a prefix. Anything that's put after the root is called a suffix. So we say tilly, it's a prefix meaning from far away. And vision means to see. So to see something from far away, that's a television. Where I come from, we say télévision, right? Which is a French word, right? But that's what we say. عندك télévision في البيت? Do you have a TV at home? So we use the word télévision. It's borrowed from French, but we say it. Now, مجمع اللغة العربية, you know, the people in you know, who wanted to Arabicize these words, they have to find something equivalent to them. They said al-idaa'a al-mar'iyya. So they used two words, you know, it is something that you listen to but you can see at the same time. Or they said at-tilfaz. They tried to again coin something from the same word, which wouldn't make sense, you know, to somebody who doesn't know Arabic. Is that clear? So when Allah says Arabian, yes, but even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses some words from other languages to show you that these people will come to Islam and they will influence the Arabic language, and the Arabic language will influence their language. You know, يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ سِرَاعًا. Ajdath means qubur. Allah could have used the word qubur. Allah used it in other contexts, right? But Allah used the word al-ajdath. This is a Persian word, which means graves. To tell you that Salman, you know, his background and his language influenced the Quran. I mean the Quran, not the Quran, I mean the language of the Quran, which is the Arabic language. يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا مِنْ أَسَاوَرَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقْ. Again, istabraq is not Arabic. It's some sort of like a fine silk, which is a Persian word. Is that clear? So when somebody tells you, like, you know, how come it's Quran, you know, Arabian, and then it has non-Arabic words? Because languages, you know, affect each other. When people mingle together, this is how, you know, languages come into being. Okay? Now, going back to the fact that why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal the Quran in Arabic, even though the message is universal, is the following. The Arabs were known to be mostly Bedouins at that time, right? They used to live in tents. And wherever the rain comes down, the grass will come, right? And this is the food for their sheep and cattle and camels, right? And water is the source of life to them. They will have wells, right? And then if there is a drought and there is nothing in this area, what do? They move. So when they move, they will move with the Quran and the religion of Islam. But let me ask you a question now. When people come to this part of the world, everybody says, I need to own a house. And then you put all your savings in that house. Do you think you're going to leave your house in Ottawa and go somewhere? Man, all my money is in this house. So civilized people, they're attached to places. But the Bedouins, they don't have no attachment. You know, the tent, just take it up, set it up somewhere else. And subhanAllah, that's a fact. Do you know how many is the number of the Sahaba? Hello? 114,000. What's the number? 114,000. Do you know how many of them are buried in Arabia? 10,000. What about the rest? They took the Quran and they moved all around the world Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. Are you familiar with that name? That's the man in Medina. When the Prophet ﷺ arrived in Medina with the camel, he was trying to pull the camel to take the Prophet ﷺ to his house. And the Prophet ﷺ spent the first few days in his house. Do you know where Abu Ayyub al-Ansari died? Do you know where is his grave? At the outskirts of Turkey. You see? So they traveled. They don't care about houses or cars. Or, you know, they mainly has bus 11 as their cars. Their feet. Right? That's what they have. Also, there were two big civilizations at that time. The Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. So Allah wanted to say, listen, these Arabs were illiterate. And these are the words of Allah. Because they might say, if these people were civilized, then they made up this Quran. They made up this style of life. But Allah said, no, they were illiterate. They just carried the message and they traveled with it. Is that clear? You know, even the nature of the relationship between the Arabs at the time, before Islam came, they were warring Bedouins. Can you imagine the war that happened between Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj was for 40 years because of a woman. 40 years. Ya subhanAllah. Aren't there some wise men to sit down and stop that? And was only the Prophet ﷺ who came to Medina, he made brotherhood between them and the war came to an end. So now we understand how can we reply to this question? How come that the Quran was revealed in Arabic? To start with, because it's the language of the Prophet and the people to whom with the sin. So, but many people will follow Islam and they're not Arabs. Yes, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to prove that the Quran is the word of Allah. So He sent it to Bedouins, okay? Who were even illiterate. Do you know in the Battle of Badr, if somebody wanted to be those prisoners of war, the 70 prisoners of war, the Prophet ﷺ gave them an offer. He said, if you teach, if each one of you were to teach 10 amongst the Muslims how to read and write, I'm going to set them free. So an ummah that doesn't know how to read and write, but today it brought the light to the entire world, which is the Quran. Is that clear? So this is very important to understand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want to say, oh, these were like, you know, civilized people, they have a big civilization, and this is why they came up with this Quran. No, it's the word of Allah carried by illiterate people, and they traveled across the world. Is that clear? Let me stop here at لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah said, at the end of the ayah, we sent it as a Quran in Arabic, لَعَلَّ. لَعَلَّ in the Arabic language to feed it taraji, which means so that you may or may not. Whenever you say لَعَلَّ in the Quran, it means you may or may not. Depending on what? The sincerity of intention. Why are you coming to the halaqah? Because my dad forced me. No. I'm coming to the halaqah with my own free will to learn the book of Allah. Then you get a reward. And Allah will open your heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. You need to have taqwa of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open your heart and then you will learn. So it depends on what? The sincerity of intention. And this is why Allah didn't say, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لِتَعْقِلُونَ. Allah could have said this, right? So that you may understand. So that you may know that these are the words of Allah. But Allah said, لَعَلَّكُمْ. You may or may not. Depending on what? The sincerity of your intention. If you are coming with a sincere intention, Allah will make you amongst those who are wise and they will get the message of the Quran. There's a challenge here also before I move and I stop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He's confident that the Quran is unparalleled, is inimitable. Nobody can come up with a Quran like this. And to Allah belongs the best example. You know, in our world, if somebody's selling you something, a commodity, you know what they say? They say, guaranteed or your money back. Right? You can just take the car, use it. If there's any defect, bring it back. We'll give you another car. Right? You can take that shirt or whatever, like check it. And then you can bring it back if there's anything wrong with it. Right? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging our reasoning. He said, if you have a mind, if you have reasoning, read the Quran. Read the Quran. And if you have the good intention and you have the good reasoning, you will get the message of the Quran. This is why, subhanAllah, people who refuse the Quran, when you go and check the Quran itself, Allah tells us the reasons. There are three main reasons when people reject the Quran. It's because of ignorance, it's because of arrogance or pride, or it's because of, you know, that people are afraid to lose, you know, their interest or their power in this world. This is when people don't want the message of the Quran, because if people know the message of the Quran, they will start claiming their rights. Is that clear? And a very good example is Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from, you know, Al-Isra wal Mi'raj, he went during the night from Al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca to Jerusalem, right? And then he went from there to the seventh heaven, Al-Mi'raj, ascension to the seventh heaven. And then he came back within the same night. You know who is the first one to meet him? Abu Jahl. What's the real name of Abu Jahl? I'll have a... two big ones here. What's the real name of Abu Jahl? But if you make a mistake, you will give me a packet of chocolate. Abu al-Hakam is a kunya. I'm saying his real name. This is the first name, even though it's not properly correct, but if you give me the second one, I'll give you the two. Abu al-Uzza? No, Abd al-Uzza is Abu Lahab. I'm talking about Abu Jahl. Last chance. Umar, he said Umar. His name is Amr ibn Hisham. Amr ibn Hisham. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ used to make dua and he used to say, Allahumma a'izz al-Islam bi ahad al-Umarain. O Allah, give power and give victory to Islam by guiding the heart of one of the two Umars. He meant Umar ibn al-Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham. But because Umar ibn al-Khattab was sincere, Allah accepted the dua of the Prophet ﷺ and he was guided. But Amr ibn Hisham knew the truth, but out of arrogance and injustice to himself, he refused. When the Prophet ﷺ came from the Isra and Mi'raj, the first one to meet him was Amr ibn Hisham, Abu Jahl. And he asked the Prophet ﷺ, he said, where are you coming from? I think you would be embarrassed to say, where are you coming from? Because nobody could even grasp this. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ Right? It's beyond imagination. The Prophet ﷺ right away told him, because he never lied. He said, I went to Jerusalem, and from there I went to the seventh heaven, and I came back. And Abu Jahl was like, huh? If I interview you in the Fox News, I mean, if I take you to Dar al-Nadwa, you know, if I gather people, okay, would you be sitting there and say this again? He said, yes. Because he lived amongst them for 40 years. He never lied. He never lied. Why should I lie now? And that's a miracle, right? And then the first one to meet Abu Jahl after that was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said to him, he said, do you see what your friend is claiming? He said, what is he claiming? He said, he claims that he went from here to Jerusalem and from there to the seventh heaven, and he came back within the same night. You know, we go to Jerusalem from here on the back of a camel, it takes us a month or more just one way. That's again, he's using logic, right? And then you know what Abu Bakr said? He said, did he say that? He said, yes. He said, إِن كَانَ قَدْ قَالَ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ صَدَقْ If he said that, he's telling the truth. At that point, the Prophet ﷺ gave Abu Bakr the title, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Even he didn't hear it from the Prophet, but he said, if he said that and I was not there, he's telling the truth. So the Prophet ﷺ called him al-Siddiq. The one who will, you know, even, you know, accept things without, if it's the Prophet Sallam, if it comes from the Prophet Sallam, even if I didn't see it, even if I didn't hear it, I will accept it. And something really serious happened. You know, the Prophet Sallam went to Jerusalem, it was night, right? So he brought all the people and he brought the Prophet Sallam. Of course, the journey was very quick. He went to Jerusalem during the night and from there went to, you know, As-Sama' As-Sabi'ah. It was like a long journey on earth and a long journey amongst the seven. The Prophet ﷺ saw many things, right? And he started embarrassing the Prophet ﷺ in front of people. But the Prophet ﷺ, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was given support as usual because he's a true messenger. What did Abu Jahl do? And how did Allah support the Prophet? That's what we're going to be starting with next time, inshallah. Okay? So we have two cliffhangers now, right? Okay. And since we're almost done with the time, it's 8:30, right? We can take one question, inshallah. Yes? You see? He's going to ask for the cliffhanger. Which one? He forgot. Okay, the story of the ayah? Okay. The story of ayah 23, we're going to just conclude this inshallah. The story of ayah 23 in surah number 33. What's surah number 33? Al-Ahzab. What's ayah number 23? The one that we mentioned before? من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. This is a Sahabi by the name of, I'm going to repeat the name, Anas ibn al-Nadr. What's his name? Anas ibn al-Nadr. Okay? During the Battle of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he did was, he asked the Sahaba, whoever is ready, come with me in Badr. He didn't ask everybody to come with him. Because the main concern was, they were going out to stop the caravan of Mecca and claim their money back without fighting. But it turned out that, you know, the news was leaked to Abu Sufyan, he changed the route, and he arrived safe in Mecca, and they came to fight the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba. So basically, Anas ibn al-Nadr missed that battle. And you know what? The Sahaba are degrees. The best amongst the Sahaba are those who attended Badr. The best, the highest rank of the Sahaba are those who attended Badr. Because subhanAllah, when the Prophet ﷺ was making dua at that point, you know, in his dua he said, Allahumma in tahlik hadhihi al-isaba falan tu'bada fil ardi ba'da al-yawm. If this group of people, 312 to 317, were to be killed today, ya Allah, that's the end of Islam. So nobody will be your slave on earth. And he was crying. So Anas ibn al-Nadr missed that battle because he was not there at the time when the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever is ready, come with me. But he made a promise. He said, Wallahi, by Allah, if I were to live for the next battle, I will show Allah and His Messenger how much I love Allah and His Messenger. And he was truthful in what he said. So when the second battle came, Uhud, he was amongst the people of Uhud. And when he came to join the battle, it was the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hit by Ibn Qami'ah alayhi min Allahi ma yastahiq. And you know, they broke the front teeth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Ibn Qami'ah hit him on his head, the helmet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pierced into his cheeks. And he was bleeding. And he fell in a hole. And they started spreading rumors. Mata Rasulullah. Qutila Rasulullah. They said the Prophet ﷺ was killed. So when the rumors were spread in the Battle of Uhud, you know what happened? At that point, some of the Sahaba sat down and they were crying. Some other Sahaba were walking back towards Medina. Some others, they laid off their swords. And this is the time when Anas ibn al-Nadr came. He said, what are you doing? They said, Mata Rasulullah, the Prophet ﷺ died. He said,
And are you sitting here crying? قوموا فموتوا على ما مات عليه. Stand up and join the battle and die for the same cause he died for.
So he revived that spirit amongst the Sahaba. The Prophet ﷺ was not killed. And they carried their swords again. And he himself, he started piercing amongst the lines of the Kuffar of Quraysh at that time, all the way to the mountain of Uhud. When people go with me for Umrah or Hajj, I explain to them exactly where that happened. Because Uhud is still there. And the battle happened there. And then, at the end of the battle, the Prophet ﷺ was checking who was killed. And they found Anas ibn Nadr amongst those who were killed. And nobody could even recognize his body except his sister by a certain mark in one of his fingers. Because after they killed him, they mutilated his body. They cut it into pieces. So Allah revealed this ayah. Because of Anas ibn Nadr.
من المؤمنين رجال.
Allah meant Anas ibn Nadr in this ayah. Amongst the believers, there are true men. When they promised, صدقوا ما عهدوا الله عليه. He made a promise when he missed the battle of Badr. He said, if I were to live to the next battle, I will show Allah and His Messenger how much I love them. So Allah said, من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه. Like Anas ibn Nadr, some of them were killed in the battle. ومنهم من ينتظر, but others are waiting to get, you know, the chance of, you know, the honor of martyrdom, you know. وما بدلوا تبديلا. And they never changed the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now we know the story of this, of the ayah. That was ayah number 23 in Surah Al-Ahzab, surah number 33. Before we leave, inshallah, I just want to confirm this. I asked you last time to send a text to the number of the masjid so that in case I might be traveling or we might do another activity, we can easily reach you by texting you, because so many people call me and so many people call Brother Ali to say, is the halaqa on? Is there something coming? So it will be very easy if we have a WhatsApp group, okay? Or some of the young people, they said, you're outdated, it's snapshot now. You know, I think I'm a very old man. So let's learn what's snapshot, inshallah, astaghfirullah. And then we can move to that. And basically what we want to do is, we want to have like a means through which we can communicate easily and, you know, tell you the news of what we're doing. If the halaqah is on, if we're going to change the tabak of the halaqah, if we're going to have another activity, inshallah, like my Arabic class, inshallah, is starting Sunday, inshallah, from 1 to 4 at the University of Carleton. And this is a foundation, you know, level of Arabic. Basically learning how to master the letters of Arabic and to, you know, connect them, and how to master the pronunciation of the sounds, and very, very basic rules of grammar, inshallah. So in case if we want to inform you about anything going on, we can easily do that. So the best way to do it, we thought about passing a paper, people write down, and we said it's easily if you have your phone on you and you just like send, you know, Brother Ali a text, and then he will just add you to the WhatsApp group, inshallah. So make sure that you do this, inshallah, because last time he said maybe two or three people who did that. So instead of calling him every week, it's very simple. The halaqah is on and it will go to all of you, inshallah. The other thing that I wanted to share with you, inshallah, is jazakumullah khair for coming. And remember always, addallu ala al-khayri kafa'ilih. When you guide someone to do something good, you get the same reward like them without diminishing any of their reward, inshallah. So mashallah, I can see every time somebody brings somebody with him. So try to do this all the time, inshallah. And again, the last thing I would say is, you all know, one way to extinguish, you know, like, you know how water extinguishes, how water extinguishes fire? The Prophet ﷺ said, the sadaqah extinguished the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like water extinguishes the fire. So I'm sure that all of us make mistakes when you're leaving the masjid. Help your masjid, inshallah, by dropping, wallahi, don't look down upon $1 or $5. It makes a difference. If you have somebody sick in your family, make dua for them. But the Prophet ﷺ also said, "Dawu mardakum bis sadaqa." Seek the cure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your sick people through sadaqah. And I'm sure you have parents, you have kids, you have wives, you know, you yourself might be sick. Just put that money with the intention of, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure you inshaAllah. On the day of judgment, you know, the sun now is about 93 million miles away. How many million? How many miles? 93 million miles away. Right? On the day of judgment, the Prophet ﷺ said, it will be 1 mile away. And even the narrator of the Hadith of al-Shafa'ah, he said, لا أدري أهو الميل الميل. I'm not sure if the Prophet ﷺ meant a mile, which is 1.6 kilometers, or the word al-meel in the Arabic language has a different meaning, which is the mascara, you know, that, you know, small thing that the women use to put black stuff in their eyes, that's called al-meel in the Arabic language. So subhanallah, the Prophet ﷺ said, imagine the sun coming that close. He said, some of us, their sweat will be to their ankles, other their sweat will be to their knees, other their sweat will be to their waists, other their sweat will be to their collarbones, and others will be drowning in their sweat, according to what? To their bad deeds. But subhanAllah, good news is, when you give sadaqah, you know what the Prophet ﷺ said? You will be under the shade of the throne of Allah, when there will be no shade except the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-mu'min fi dhilli sadaqatihi yawm al-qiyamah. That day will be 50,000 years long for the disbelievers. But for those who believe, it will be like the time between Dhuhr and Asr, or the time between Asr and Maghrib. فَذَلِكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرُ يَسِيرٌ. So try inshallah all the time, you know, to give sadaqah. Make it like one of your character every day, inshallah. Last thing inshallah, brother, do you have any announcements? Last thing I want to do inshallah is the kids. I'm going to take the table away because they come and they crush me, okay? So I want them to line up and I will come to them. Okay? Okay, we'll make dua inshallah. We'll make dua.
Bismillah, assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters. We all in Somali, we will have a lecture for Somali language, inshallah, on Sunday by Salat al-Maghrib. Sheikh Osman Bedel from Vancouver is here from Ottawa. So inshallah, I will have a lecture for Sunday by Salat al-Maghrib. What are we? We have a lecture for Dinawa, Sheikh Osman Bedel for Kim Vancouver.
Okay, we'll make dua inshallah. Allahumma ja'al tajammu'ana hadha tajammu'an marhuma, waj'al tafarruqana min ba'dihi tafarruqan ma'suma, wala taj'al minna wala baynana shaqiyan wala mahruma. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha, wazakkaha anta khayru man zakkaha, أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم طهر ألسنتنا من الكذب، وأعيننا من الخيانة، وأعمالنا من الرياء، وقلوبنا من النفاق. نسألك لسانا ذاكرا، وقلبا خاشعا، وعملا متقبلا، ودعاء مستجابا. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اجعل آخر كلامنا من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله، سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.